B'choros Perek Beis Mishnah Vav 2-6, we now begin three Mishnayos that discuss various situations of Suffolk, uncertain firstborn male animals, whether they should be treated as B'chor or not. The Mishnah is very involved. The most important thing to keep in mind to make sense of this Mishnah is number one, that there is a financial obligation to a Kohen to give the B'chor, and the governing rule is if it's a Suffolk, we're not sure of what he's owed, so then Hamotim Mechavero Lavaraya, the burden of proof sits on the Kohen who's trying to get, we'll call it paid, to claim the Bechor. He has to prove that he's entitled to it. Since he can't, because it's a Suffolk, he won't be entitled to get the Bechor. And second of all, even if the Kohen can't claim his Bechor, still if the Bechor is a Suffolk, we're not sure its status, so then there's still this Isser v'Heter issue. There's the Bechor itself remains forbidden to get benefit from. You can't work it, you can't shear it. You can only eat it, and you can only eat it, even as the owner of the animal, once the Bechor gets, or the Suffolk Bechor, the questionable Bechor, gets a mum, some sort of permanent blemish. Okay, says the Mishnah inside, Rachel Shlo Bikra, the first of the four cases, the most basic case, you have a first-time mother sheep, V'yalda Shnei Zacharim, and two sheep, she gives birth to two male sheep, V'yatsu Shnei Rashehen Ke'echad, and the two heads of the two sheep come out at the same time. So then, Rabbi Yossi Glili Omer, Shnein LeKohen. Rabbi Yossi Glili says, if they were both the head coming out is what determines if it's the Bechor. If they both had two heads, each of them had their own head coming out at the exact same time, then they're both a Bechor. And there's actually a pasuk to support this, says Rabbi Yossi Glili, Shneimar HaZacharim LaShem. As the pasuk says, he says, as the firstborns, the plural, are to Hashem. Meaning the whole pasuk says, V'chol peter sheger beheima asher yeh lacha, HaZacharim LaShem, every firstborn animal in the singular that you'll have, HaZacharim, the males in plural, go to Hashem. So Rabbi Yossi Glili says, the reason we transition from a singular parent, let's call it, to a plural offspring males, is because you could have two at the same time. The Chacham Omrim Iyefshar. The Chacham say, as far as the Drasha goes, they don't accept that. They say the Drasha just means in general, like the Kol of Klal Yisrael will be giving multiple male firstborns as Bechoros. But they say, Iyevshar, it's impossible for the two animals to emerge at the exact same time. This is the sheet of the Chum throughout Kol Torah Kula, what's referred to as Iyevshar Litzamtzem. You can't know exactly which happened first because human beings are just human beings. But so to speak, Hashem knows. There's no such thing as it's impossible that two things could happen at the exact same moment. One happened, you know, a millionth of a second before the other. Just human beings can't determine which happened first. And that being the case, the Chacham say there will never be a situation of having two Vadai Bechoros, but you could have a Suffolk. You don't know which of the two is the Bechor. Since Iyevshar, since it can't both be, only one of them is, you don't know which one. Ela Echelo Ve'echelo Kohen. Therefore, one of these two belongs to the farmer, and one of the two belongs to a Kohen. Now, how do we actually in practice play that out? Because we don't know which is which. So, two approaches. Reb Tarfon Omer, HaKohen Bor Lo Esayafe. Reb Tarfon says the Kohen comes and he identifies which is the better of the two, the more valuable of the two, and that's when he takes, and the Kohen taking it by virtue of being the stronger of the two, we treat that as not a Suffolk but a Vade, says Reb Tarfon, at least at this point of the Mishnah, that we treat it as certainly the Bechor. There's no more Sfakus, and everyone treats it as, you know, with certitude. The reason why is because Rabbi Tarfon holds, we can safely presume that the stronger of the two animals is one that would sort of work its way out first and get out first of the womb. And therefore, we can be certain that the first one, the stronger one, is the one that actually came out first. That's Rabbi Tarfon's position. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, no, nothing doing. He says instead that it's a Suffolk, and we don't know what the difference is, but we don't know which is which. But the rule is, Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya, the Kohen who's claiming the firstborn animal, so he is only entitled to the less of the two because he would have to prove he's entitled to the greater of the two. And so in terms of value, that means, let's just say, for example, one animal was worth, you know, $3, one was worth $4. So the Kohen's allowed to take the $3 animal, and what remains in dispute is that extra fourth dollar, okay? The extra fat, if you will, that's on the bigger animal, making it with four instead of three, that's what's in for dispute. Since everyone agrees at least three are owed to the Kohen gets the three, and the fourth one, number four, stays with the farmer. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Mishamnin Benehen, which means something like the fat or the excess, the schmaltz on the bigger one, that's what's in dispute, meaning that extra $1 between 3 and 4. Okay? So the lesser one, the $3 one, goes to the Kohen. The Hasheni, and the other one, the $4 one, stays with the farmer. But since the farmer can't be certain that he got the non-Bahur, he has to be afraid maybe it is a Bahur. And therefore, Yireh Ad Sheyistaev, he'll have to wait until it grazes, till it gets a permanent blemish, a mum. And at that point, he'll be allowed to eat it. That would be the same, by the way, with regards to the Kohen's one that he took. Maybe he got a Bahur, maybe he didn't. So he can't bring it as a korban because maybe it's not a bechor. You can't eat it without bringing it as a korban because maybe it is a bechor. So again, he'll have to wait till it gets a mum also. Once it gets this permanent blemish, this mum, then he'll be able to eat it as well. Now, as far as the farmer goes, which is why we're focusing on him, there's a separate question, which is, what about the other gifts to a Kohen that every chulin animal has? In other words, when a person owns just, even really, in theory, even bezman hazeh nowadays, if you have a cow, goat, or sheep, and you slaughter it, and you're eating it just for its meat, to make hamburgers, so there are certain gifts called matanos that go to the Kohen. Specifically, you have the zroa, that's the right foreleg, the front leg of the animal on the right, the lechayayim, which is basically the tongue and the cheeks around the mouth, and the keva. The keva is one of the four stomachs of the animal, of the ruminant, cow, goat, sheep. It's actually the one that you use to make cheese. Those three go to the Kohen as a gift. So, says Rabbi Akiva, v'chaya b'matanos. The Kohen, when he ultimately slaughters this, I'll call it the $4 sheep that he kept, so once it gets its mum, then he will still have to give the matanos, the gifts, the zro l'chayam and keva, to a Kohen. Why? Because m'manavshach, however you slice it, they should belong to the Kohen. Because if this animal is indeed not the bechor, so then it's chulin, a regular animal which you give matanos, you give to the Kohen, so it should be going to the Kohen. And if, in fact, this is the Bechor, then the Kohen has claim to the whole thing. So therefore, for sure, the Zor L'chaim and Keva should be going to the Kohen. That's Rabbi Akiva's approach. Now, on that point, in other words, there are two approaches to what to do with how to choose which of the two animals should go to the Kohen. But now, the halachas are Rabbi Akiva, but here, Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree in terms of the Matanos part of it. Rabbi Yossi Poter, Rabbi Yossi says, when the farmer finally, who kept this, the more valuable of the two, and it got its mum, and he shechted and ate it, he's allowed to also keep the matanos for himself and eat that zro l'chaim and keva. Why is that the case? So Rabbi Yossi has, it's not based on like anything logical, if you know what I mean. It's din derabanan. The rabbi said, we're going to treat it as if when the two people, the farmer and the Kohen, divide up these two sheep, or goats, or cows. So they essentially made a deal, and the Kohen said, listen, whatever rights I have in the other one, I'm transferring to you now. I'm releasing all my claim on the other one. So it's like a barter. They switched. Each one got their own thing in full, fair, and square. Now, there's no like great compelling reason why they should be doing that, but that's how Chazal set it up. And it's sort of consistent with how Rabbi Yossi does things in many different scenarios. But the reason why Rabbi Yossi says that, perhaps one of the explanations given, is that he was concerned that if you'd be given the Zerul HaChem and Keva of this animal, people think, oh, it's really not a Bechor. And if it's really not a Bechor, they might come to, do Giz and Avo, they could work it or shear it. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi wants no confusion, so he says there's no Matanos given at all. The Halach is like the Chachamim here, like Rabbi Akiva, I should say. And therefore, indeed, the Matanos do go to the Kohen, the farmer keeps the more valuable two because of Motzim Mechaver Levaraya. Now, the Mishnah continues and it says, Meis Echad Men, what if prior to the Kohen getting any sheep, the lesser sheep, but any sheep, one of the sheep dies. So now we're in the world of, we don't know necessarily which of the two is the Kohen sheep, at least according to Rabbi Akiva. Reb Tarfon Omer, Yachaloku. Reb Tarfon says, in that case, if you just have one living sheep, so then the farmer and the Kohen just split the value. Now that should make your brain explode for two reasons. First of all, Reb Tarfon is the one who just said a moment ago that the Kohen gets the better one, and we treat it vadai, we treat it with certainty that is indeed the Bechor. So he has no sfeikas, there's no suffix, so why is he now dividing things 50-50? That's how you deal with sfeikas. And he should just say, listen, if it was the bigger one, then it's the Kohen's that died, and if it was the smaller one, then it was the not Bechor that died, and the Kohen gets it. That doesn't make sense. And second of all, even if you'll say and the halach is actually that Rabbi Tarfon essentially, he is retreating from his position. Rabbi Tarfon is saying, at this point, like historically it was later on, but at this point in the Mishnah, Rav Tarfon is saying, I made a mistake. I don't think the Kohen can just pick the more valuable one. No, it's a suffix. So he's retreated from that position. That position is gone. The Mishnah has retained it, I guess, for the sake of, I'll call it memorization purposes. People have memorized this sheet of Rav Tarfon in the past. We didn't want to remove it from the Mishnah, but Rav Tarfon now doesn't hold it anymore. So you'll ask a question, well, why does he say split it? He should now say Hamotzu Mechaver Olav Araya. That's a usual governing rule. We don't know if this surviving one belongs to a Kohen as a Bechor or not a Bechor, and therefore not to the Kohen. And therefore, it should be Hamotzu Mechaver Olav Araya, and the Kohen gets nothing. And indeed, that's what Rabbi Yekiva says. Rabbi Yekiva Omer, Hamotzu Mechaver Olav Araya. And therefore, the Kohen gets nothing. Now, so why then does Rav Tarfon say Yachloku to divide it? For another totally extraneous reason. The Gemara ends up saying like a kind of unusual kimta. I'll avoid the details because I think we'll get lost in the weeds here. But the basic scenario is, for this mission to make sense in Rav Tarfon's world, is you have a situation where a farmer gets in a shepherd to take care of his flock. The shepherd is a Kohen. The farmer gives certain rights to the, according to Rav Tarfon, the farmer gives certain rights to the Kohen shepherd in the flock, and therefore the Kohen shepherd has some kind of like stake in it. And therefore they're splitting it 50-50, whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, the farmer wouldn't give any like stake to the shepherd. So even if it's a Kohen, the Kohen has no stake in it, and therefore he has nothing particular. It's a Samotim Mechavel Avarai, he gets nothing. Now the Mishnah continues with essentially a new case, like a new paragraph. What happens if this is a first-time mother sheep? You come back in the morning, she's giving birth to twins, and you find in the corral, Zachar Unakeva, a male and a female sheep. So what does the Kohen get? Says the Mishnah, Ein kan l'Kohen klum. The Kohen gets nothing at all. Why? Because maybe the firstborn of the twins was the female, in which case there is no Bechor, and the Kohen gets nothing. So he gets nothing. As far as the farmer goes, so he doesn't know if the male indeed was the firstborn or not, and therefore he has a suffix. So the female has no restrictions. The male is a suffix Bechor, and therefore he can't work it or shear it. He lets it graze until it gets its own blemish. That's a permanent blemish. At that point, he will also be allowed to eat the male as a suffix Bechor.